last part of the New Testament lesson on Christmas Eve, John 1, the first 18 verses. Listen again for God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of In the beginning was the speaking, and the speaking was with God, and the speaking was God. This is the Sunday closest to Epiphany, January 6th, a Sunday when we usually sing hymns about light, tell the story of the wise men coming to Jesus, and wrestle with Herod's massacre of the innocents. In a perverse way, I am drawn to Matthew's story of Jesus' birth more than I am taken with Luke's, because I recognize in Matthew the world I know. The world of Herod's murderous decree, of wise men circumventing politicians now and then, of a holy family fleeing like refugees. In Matthew, I recognize the world that is too much with us still as this anything but New Year commences. There is, however, another text about light appointed for the second Sunday after Christmas Day. A text that turns us from the creche to creation and the cosmos. Because the whole of created time and space is the only context large enough, incredible enough, astonishing enough to contain the news John has to tell. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Compared to Mary and Joseph and shepherds and wise men, John's words about the Word's beginning seem to send us into outer space, claiming as he does that the Word became flesh was in the beginning before time and space, and the Word was with God before we were, and the Word was God, totally other than we are. But because John's context for his words are the words of Scripture, his first sentence really means to send us back to the first sentence of Genesis. In the beginning, when God began creating the heavens and the earth, how did God create? Austin had it right. The children had it right. God said, "Let there be." As God's speech created the cosmos, Jesus is the Word God speaks in the fullness of time, according to John, to recreate the world. But John does not choose just any word for the word he uses in the gospel. Of all the words in Greek that could have been chosen, John chose Logos. L-O-G-O-S. Logos. In the 6th century B.C., a philosopher named Heraclitus, writing in Ephesus where John is thought to have written his gospel, the philosopher first used Logos to speak of the eternal principle of order in the universe. In the beginning was the Logos. The Stoics would use the same word to speak of the mind of God. Philo, a Hellenistic Jewish philosopher writing during Jesus' lifetime, spoke of the Logos as an intermediary between God and God's creatures. In other words, John chose a loaded word in Greek for what is translated in English as word. which means literally word. But, Calvin goes on, granting that they had some plausible reason, still it cannot be denied that sermo, speech, speaking, discourse, would have been far more appropriate. That is, in the beginning was the speaking, and the speaking was with God, and the speaking was God. In translating logos to sermo, Calvin means to follow John's lead, I think, to evoke the God who in the beginning said, that's another word in Hebrew, dabar, God said, and it's a Hebrew word that connotes dynamic action. Just what Austin said to the children, when God speaks, something happens, something is created. So the God who created the cosmos with a word in the beginning is the God who in the fullness of time spoke a new creation into being in the speaking that became flesh. What does that mean for you and for me? John is saying in the first place that the speaking who spoke creation into being is present now, here, speaking you and me, moment by moment, breath by breath, into life, saying in us with each breath that we take, let this one precious, unrepeatable life be. All things came into being, no. All things come into being through him. And without him, not one thing comes into being. In him is life, and the life is the light of all people. John says this because according to Genesis 1, non-being is lurking at the end of our every breath, vying to say in us what God has not said, to overcome the life that is the light of the world in us. God is speaking us into being over against the deathly inertia of a decaying body and a diminished mind. Speaking us into light as opposed to the darkness that descends every time we read the news. Speaking us into hope and not despair, the despair urged upon us by the world as we have ordered it. John is saying God's word, God's speaking, is creating in you, moment by moment, the life that is life. In the second place, God's speaking in the beginning initiated. She nailed my sermon, by the way. I should just end. God's speaking in the beginning initiated a relationship. And God's speaking become flesh in the fullness of time. It is redeeming a relationship. According to Genesis 1, God said, let us make humankind in our image. Which makes me think you could also translate John 1 as, in the beginning was the conversation. And the conversation was within God. And the conversation was God. Then God said, let us make a creature other than ourselves to join the conversation. Or not. With God speaking was in the world, John says, but the world knew him not. The real Rome, from God's perspective, is not God's hiddenness, but our silence, our lack of response. He came to his own now being. And his own people received him not. In spite of God addressing us in the words of Scripture and the flesh God became in Jesus Christ, we have nothing to say. If I consider the reasons for our silence from the beginning, there are characters who engage us with arguments against joining the conversation, very persuasive arguments. There are matters of consequence that distract us from the conversation. There is our own inner self-important dialogue that takes most of our time and attention. There is, in these latter days, our reasoned unbelief concerning the actuality, the existence of a speaker. What to do? As a minister of the Word, Logos, the sermon, and sacrament, I only know enough to jumpstart our side of the conversation every week when a few of us gather to listen again to God speaking through the words of Scripture Wednesday morning, or on Sunday when all of us are gathered by God's address to try the conversation together. To do myself is to ask and plead and beg and scold God along the way. No hands folded, no eyes closed, at least while I'm driving or walking or studying, working, staring, worrying, waiting, wandering, longing. I ask, I plead, I thank, I scold. Mostly I am speaking and listening. But because God has spoken and is speaking grace upon grace into my ordinary life, because the love that God is apparently has not given up on the conversation with me yet or with you, because the community called out by God's address week in and week out prompts me to haul myself out of bed on Sunday morning to listen again, plus the fact that you pay me. Because of all this, I am here to testify there is light. There is light enough. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Well, finally, John says of those who receive the God who has come to them in Jesus Christ, who hear God speaking in him. John says it is as though you have been born into a whole new life. A life defined no longer by blood, not your family, whether biological or adopted. A life that's in the days that lie before